Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory Season 8, Episode 12. I'm Jack.
And I'm Stato.
And tonight we're going to be recording a Van der Vaart special. So So last week he announced his retirement from professional football. We mentioned it briefly on the pod last week.
Didn't do it justice.
News only broke sort of an hour before we actually came on, so we didn't have too much time to prepare. So I thought it was only fair for a great player to have its own dedicated show. So you're going to do a bit of a summary of his career.
Yeah, I want you to answer a question, and I'll stick with your answer. I have faith and I trust you. I've had a long-standing argument with someone.
Yeah.
Van der Vaart's left foot, a peach or a wand?
It's a wand.
It's a wand. I agree.
It's a wand.
Thank you.
It's a wand.
I have a friend who says it's a peach. A left foot.
See, for me, a wand is something that's more consistent, whereas a peach for left foot, he's just caught one. Like, Timothy Atubra had a peach for left foot because he hit one.
Yeah, there's a good logic
so
to that.
A wand
I've never
is
thought
consistent.
That argument,
yeah.
But it is now a wand forevermore. And what a wand.
Yeah, what a wand. So, you're going to start right back at the start in his Ajax
days. I thought
days.
I'd just do a quick brief summary of his career, just to give a few facts and figures. As a stats man, that's what I do. So, he came through the ranks at Ajax, played 156 games, scoring 63 goals in a sort of attacking midfield.
Yeah.
But they play 4-3-3, so he would have probably been on either side of that, you know, possibly cutting in. In Holland, he won the bulk of his medals, really, as a team player. Two Eredivisies, the Dutch Cup and Super Cup, which is the equivalent of the Charity Shield.
Yeah.
He did win a handful of individual awards, and lots of those were back then in his Ajax days. Mm. We went to Hamburg for €5.5 million, 113 games for them, 48 goals.
Great scoring record again.
Really for an attacking midfielder, not a striker.
Yeah.
Definitely highlight of his career possibly there. Two Intertoto Cup wins.
All the West Ham fans that are listening.
Slightly tarnished though, because like West Ham's Intertoto Cup win, they're one of three winners that season. It doesn't count. There's no final.
There's only five teams in the cup.
It got crazier because the following time they won the Intertoto Cup, there were 11 co-winners who all got through the Intertoto stage and entered the last, you know, the UEFA Cup proper. And the winner is deemed the team who goes the furthest in the competition. And that second time was Hamburg. And they only got to the last 16. So that's how you determine the winner of the Intertoto Cup. So that's why I've never considered it.
That is incredible.
It's the Abbas of international or
pointless
European trophies. Well, so from Hamburg, he went off to Real Madrid for €13 million. And 73 appearances, 12 goals. So slightly tempered there, but you've got a lot more quality players around you and probably
didn't start many games there either,
no,
did he?
No, definitely not. Whilst he was at Real, only won one trophy, the Super Cup. Again, that's the equivalent of the Charity Shield. And he actually got sent off in the second leg whilst they were 4-2 down to Valencia. They did go on and win, but they were 4-3 down when Van Nistelrooy also got sent off. So they were down to 9 men, and they won 6-5 on AG. So quite a lively final, but crazy sort of...
Yeah.
It's one of those... at the beginning of the season doesn't really count for anything, and two-legged sort of charity shields, it's a very odd concept.
That Madrid derby's always been crazy for bookings, because I remember them playing another cup final, and I think it was the first time Atletico had beaten for 15 years, and there were something like 17 yellow cards and two reds, and it's like, even the goalkeepers were...
I mean, there is an element of play acting and officials
Pepe
buying it, and you know, but also there's some general shithousery. And then there was this rumoured transfer to Bayern Munich for around €30 million that never came off. 2 days later, it was transfer deadline day. Levy had made a few calls and he was available, and we signed him for £8 million. I mean, the week before, it was all done and dusted on a £30 million transfer to Bayern. Maybe €30 million, but
is that
fell through.
Is that, from your memory, our best bit of business that we've done?
Definitely on a transfer deadline day. Definitely in a... that we don't know this is happening, it's not been long and drawn out, and they're just going to give us something to announce on the day. This happened really late. In fact, it happened so late, there was a problem with email or fax of the Premier League that day, and we had to get special dispensation to finalise the paperwork the morning after, which we did. And then Happy Times, which we'll go into a bit more detail at Tottenham, 77 appearances and 28 glorious goals. Before AVB kind of did for him in that summer he left, that we signed Dembele and Dempsey and Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
But he'd supposedly, AVB had told Van der Vaart, you'll be my number 10. But it was weird that he just saw Sigurdsson, who was kind of...
He really sort of left out the back door from out of nowhere as well, didn't he? And it was just sort of, literally, he left us really as quickly as he signed for us. Before we knew it, he was gone.
Exactly.
I was devastated.
But we made a profit on him. But then, I think that's the case if the transfer fees have gone crazy.
Yeah.
And we got £10.3 million for him. And apparently it was all funded by a local businessman in Hamburg. They didn't have the pennies or the pfennigs to pay it, but a local businessman gave him an interest-free loan, and he went back to Hamburg, where it wasn't quite as good as previously. Mm. 18 goals in 86 appearances, and actually the club were then going into quite big turmoil. They'd been quite famous for never having been relegated, the only club who'd been in the Bundesliga since day one, but I think on the 51st season... They finally suffered ignominious relegation, by which time he'd scooted off to Real Betis in Spain.
Yeah.
And then he saw out his career in Denmark, which some people might be surprised by, but actually his girlfriend was a handball player and played for one of the top Danish sides out there. So he just sort of tagged along to keep her company. But 537 appearances, 171 goals in club football, and then... not least to mention 12 years playing for the Netherlands, 109 caps and 25 goals, representing them at 5 major tournaments.
What a
two
career.
Euros and 3 World Cups.
It's unbelievable. Those numbers, if you hadn't have told me that was Van der Vaart and you hadn't told me the clubs, I would think that is that's a good centre forward.
Mm.
Those goal scoring that's phenomenal. There's plenty of players in the Premier League, you look back at how many goals they're scored for game ratio, and that is outstanding. What I loved about him was all the different types of goals he used to score. He was just he was such a wonderful player. We're going to do a review of all the goals that he scored, but we'll come on to that in a bit. What was your favourite goal? If you could just pick out one for now before we go through all of them, what would your number one goal be?
I've got five. So I'm going to have to break down from those
goals
five.
He scored.
Yeah, you're going to be surprised. Okay. This is genuinely my favourite goal, and I've watched, there's a YouTube clip, as you mentioned, we'll send a link out with that when we sort of advertise this pod on Twitter and Facebook. It's a game against Blackburn, away from home in the league, and he scores two that day, but I believe it's the first goal, and it's a cut back from the goal line, and he's about level with the penalty spot just to the right of it, and the ball, I would almost say it's just behind him, and he doesn't strike the ball, he doesn't aim a kick at the ball or anything, he just guides it into the back of the net. No power, no backlift. It's as if he just stops his foot and allows the pace from the ball to go, and he just guides it into the corner of the goal. It wasn't the most important goal by any stretch of the imagination. He's got Champions League goals, he's got goals in derbies, he's got winners, he's got, for me that was my absolute favourite goal, because I can't think of another Spurs player in a long, long time, and I mean maybe even going back to Hoddle, that could have scored a goal as like sublime that. As that.
It's almost, for the cricketers out there,
yeah.
it's like playing a late cut off of a fast bowler.
Yeah.
Just let the ball do all the work.
All the
I'm just going to guide it there.
Ball,
and he's just in complete control of that situation.
And whereas, you might not recognise that goal. Jack's obviously been watching this in preparation. He knows the goal. And he had an excited look on his face when I said that one. But check it out. It's well worth it. It's
stunning.
Only a couple of minutes on this video for all 28 goals. But it's an absolute stunner, and I think it's the 20th goal. And I'm going to check my notes.
So that's your number one. We'll go through the other one. Through the other ones in a bit. I mean, the favourite goal that I saw him score, and I've told this story a couple of times, is his second goal in the 2-1 victory at Villa Park.
Yep.
It was a Boxing Day. There was snow on the ground. I was there for it. We drove up for the game. We drove up thinking this is going to get called off at any minute. The game went ahead. He scored the first goal, which was a lovely goal, which again was a cutback, which forced him on the
square
penalty
ball
spot
across the box
from Alan Hutton.
Yeah,
And it's played into him on the penalty spot, and he just side foots it in the corner. Lovely goal. We were cruising at 1-0 in that game, absolutely cruising. Defoe got a red card for an alleged elbow on, I think it was James Collins, which was just nonsense.
Strange.
And then we just played counter-attack football for the whole game, and the second goal to put us 2-0 up, and his second on the day, was Bale picking the ball up on the right. You've got the notes.
It's my second one.
You've got the notes. It's amazing. He picks the ball up on basically in the right back position. Gareth Bale runs 60 yards, squares it to Aaron Lennon, who's now just inside the penalty area on the left hand side, lays it off for Van der Vaart, who had been trying to keep up with Bale whilst he was counter attacking. And again, inside of the left foot in the bottom corner. after about 65 minutes. We went crazy in the
But this
ends.
One curls away. If it was from the other side, it would be curling from going wide of the post to going in. But this one is curling away from Friedel, it would have been in
Brad
goal.
Brad Friedel. And his fingertip, and like, just that's the only
the
place.
Gap, yeah.
The only place he could have scored, and he put it perfectly in there.
I'm really pleased you picked that, because it's... Again, it's not Inter Milan, it's not Twente, but it's not Woolwich, and it's not as a critic, but it's a great remembered goal. Yeah. Like you say, you were there for it, it means even more.
Yeah, it was, man. We hung on in that game 2-1 as well with 10 men, so that was fantastic. I mean, the other question I was going to ask you is, were you a fan of him? But I mean, how could you not be?
Exactly.
He was,
you have to.
Oh, just a truly magical player. And if you had to describe him in three words, how would you do that?
Sexy football bastard. I don't know, he was a throwback for me to Tottenham skillful players of a bygone era. Yeah. Maybe you could go back even further than I was watching, than players that my dad spoke about. Icons like Alfie Conn, who didn't have a great record at Tottenham, wasn't there for particularly long, but is remembered for iconic things like he sat on the ball in a game against Leeds. I mean, Leeds are going to leather you left, right and centre, but he found time in the game to do a trick and just sat down on the ball. We were fancy dams and top shaggers. That's what people thought of Tottenham. We were London. Everyone didn't like Londoners because we were cocky, or they were cocky, and they were. But we had a swagger about us, and Van der Vaart was a throwback to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the three words I've got written down is traditional Tottenham player.
Yeah.
Playing with style.
More articulate than sexy football bastard, sorry.
But I completely agree with you. He's everything that our history is, which is maybe not the most consistent, maybe not the most reliable, but, you know, amazing to watch. Absolutely amazing to watch. And he used to be worth paying for the price for the ticket alone.
Yeah.
Just to go and watch him for the 60 minutes that he just about got through. He used to be absolutely fantastic, and he is one of my favourite players that I've seen, and that he just had something about him, didn't he? From day one, you saw him and you thought, oh, hello, this guy looks a bit good. I remember actually watching his debut, which was a 1-1 away draw with West Brom. We were terrible, Spurs, but the glimpses of play that we actually put through him, we thought we've got a decent-looking player here. Would he get in our current side?
That player then? No, he wouldn't. Because we're more disciplined, we're more drilled as a team, there's more of a team ethic. We're a counter-attacking team a lot of the time, so pace is important. He didn't have that. It was not his thing. I wouldn't have been surprised if I'd have learned he was a smoker. I don't think he was, but it would never have surprised me if he'd have been that type of player. But then I do think if he'd have come through 10 years later, then yes, he would have been a fine addition to this side. But I just, if you're asking me to evaluate the player he was then into today's side now, I don't think he would have been a starter. Hey, we've got players coming off the bench, quite Lamella-like in that he's, you know, wouldn't always say he's going to deliver week in, week out, but hey, he can do some fancy stuff and for the team.
Yeah, I got sent in a really interesting question, actually, which is around this, from Blubby on Reddit. Great name. Basically, what would Van der Vaart have been like under Poch? Could he have turned him into a very fit player? And then goes on to say, if you could choose one of Eriksen or Van der Vaart, who would you choose? So, the Van der Vaart under Redknapp or the Eriksen under Poch? Regardless of the playing styles of the sides, if you could just pick one of those players, who would you?
I would pick Van der Vaart, because he gives us more moments. He gives us more goal. I mean, I haven't got Eriksen's goal record to date. I wouldn't imagine it might be 22, something like that. It's not far off. I think there's more Tottenham in Van der Vaart than there is Eriksen.
But then
I think in this Poch team, there isn't quite the opportunity to express himself. I wonder if we had a different forward and it wasn't just a... And it's not get it long to Kane, we don't do that at all. But if it isn't just a get it to Kane and Kane will score, but that's how we're set up and what we're set up for.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. I mean, Van der Vaart, as I've said, one of my favourite players. So, I mean, I would have him over Eriksen, I think. Just because of the goals that he brought. And like you say, the moments of magic. When you go and watch football, you often think back to games and... You don't necessarily remember the hard workers, although you should. You remember the players that make you go, wow. And Van der Vaart was one of those players, you know, you'd go home and you'd say that he did this unbelievable bit of play where he did this, this and this.
Eriksen's got far more goals.
Has he?
Yeah, in far more appearances I will have.
Yeah.
Double the appearances.
How many goals?
Oh, yeah, no, in fact, so the ratio, actually, yeah. Van der Vaart is ahead.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, it's 57 in 232. So actually he's played
about one in five.
Two-thirds the game, but only sort of just over double the goals. Mm. Yeah.
But great question that though.
Very good, Bobby.
And similar types of players, and a creative lot, want to get on the ball, both through Ajax as well, so there you go. Mm. Do you reckon Van der Vaart is our best player in the Premier League in terms of performances against Arsenal?
For performances, do you mean goals? Because I know that's
you
a hard stat.
You can interpret that to however you want.
Because he scored four goals in three of his games against Tottenham. He scored a brace in one,
yeah.
and two in two other games. But Kane scored seven goals across six matches. Mm. He's played in others that he didn't score in, only one I think. But and even Bale's got five goals.
Is he really?
Against them. So
there's a few challenges.
Yeah, but then they were important. I mean, the game we came back at the Emirates and won, he got the second, didn't he? Because it was his free kick, Bale's free kick or his free kick?
His free kick.
Fabregas. And a header.
Fabregas in the wall, isn't he? Puts his
arm
up.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was doing the
yeah.
Kabul header.
Yeah.
So, was that his free
that
kick
was
anyway?
His free kick as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So he's got an assist for his own penalty.
He set the Bale one up as well, didn't he? Because
yeah.
it was a long ball, which Jermaine Defoe wins in the
yes.
air.
Yes. Well, and if you get in front, the big yeah. man can score. One of my five was a diving header for Van der Vaart against Stoke. So he gets across
oh, yeah. last
one
minute.
Of the big lumps.
Yeah.
Possibly sure, of course, I'm not entirely
one of the,
sure.
One of 11 big
in.
Lumps
yeah.
at Stoke, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that was just a different type of
yeah.
goal from him, wasn't it? Just.
So we think Kane potentially better.
I would
in
say in the Premier League era, I would go Kane, Bale and then Van der Vaart. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, he was important. It's about attitude as well. When he
yeah.
scored that goal in the Park Lane, so he's down by their
and
fans and
it,
he's giving
he?
It
yeah.
the shush. Now, Chadley got cautioned at the Emirates for cupping his
yeah.
ear. You know, there's no consistency there. It's probably
Man.
A different referee.
Another name I'm going to throw in there
uh-huh.
for good Premier League performances against Arsenal, and he weren't a great player, Jermaine Genus.
Yes.
He was always outstanding.
Yeah.
You'd have had him straight in for the drugs test after those games because he must
but
have been on
someone
something.
Who could lift himself for those very big matches,
but
definitely,
he
yeah.
was fantastic. And I always used to think as well, although we didn't have a great record against them, Ledley used to bring so much to that game because
yeah.
he'd often not played for 3 months. The Arsenal game come round and we'd wheel him out and he'd be outstanding.
Two names you're probably not going to expect me to say, Pletikosa and Stephen Corker, who of course made his debut. Yeah, maybe not so those in North London.
That was in the 4-1 home loss, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, in the League Cup.
And they got
was that extra time, though? 1-1 at extra time.
We were murdered in that. Robbie Keane scored an equaliser for us in the second half. We
yeah.
were murdered. And they got two penalties in 2 minutes
yeah.
in extra time. And 4-1, honestly, 4-1 flattered us.
But it was one
game.
Of those where I think there might even have been like a mutual agreement between the managers to play sort of half
yeah.
second string, half
yeah.
kids. But they came out the better. Their kids were better than ours. And their
now one thing on Pletikosa. So he, for anyone that has no idea who he is a Croatian goalkeeper
international
that we signed. No one or most people had never heard of him. I think that was the only game he played.
He definitely was the only game he ever played.
I'm absolutely adamant of this, that I was at an away game and he was named on the bench as an additional goalkeeper, but I cannot find a record for it anywhere. And I'm almost
was it under Redknapp? Because Redknapp had a habit
yes.
of doing this, picking two goalkeepers to put a message out to the chairman.
And I'm almost certain it was in our 2-1 away win at Stoke when
right.
Ida Gudjonsson scored
yeah,
and
yeah.
Nico Kranjčar scored.
That's
there's
nice.
No record of it online anywhere,
okay.
so I'm either completely losing it.
Because you often only list the subs that came on rather than the seven.
And
that
he's
were.
Just not listed. But in the warm-up, okay. I vividly remember this, and I'm 99% certain that this was at Stoke. He was warming up with the outfield players, and we were all thinking, who's this chap?
But in goalkeeper kit.
Not in goalkeeper kit.
In outfield
kit. In outfield kit.
But you can name two keepers. You don't have to use him.
He was in outfield kit. I'm not making this up. And we were stood there for 20 minutes trying to figure out
yeah, yeah.
who is this. And then they put the subs up and we're thinking, that's Pletikosa.
Yeah, yeah.
As an outfield player. I mean, he was a big lump, so
yeah,
you
yeah.
would think it might have been.
Well, I met him because we had four Croatians at the time.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be like a signing you'd have to keep the star happy.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, sign so-and-so's brother or bring them over as a
It's like the Hazards, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thorgren Hazard. But, yeah, so there was Crenshaw, Modric, Cholouka and Pleticosa. And one of the games I refereed at White Hart Lane, when the players had to come and do corporate stuff, I think Cholouka and Modric had been drawn out of the hat. But all four of them came together en masse. But they just shook hands, gave out the awards.
Was Pleticosa also in outfield players that day?
Sadly, just in club tracks.
If anybody can find anything anywhere about Pleticosa being...
I'll have a look. I've got a couple of resources I can go to.
I'm almost certain. Let's do a review then of all the goals he scored for Spurs. Because like we said, there's 28 in total. So I've actually got the video here, which we're going to send around. But I mean, they're all fantastic goals. So I'm just going to pull up the list of... what we've got here. So his first one is at home.
You could have emailed me that. I've written these out, handwritten with descriptions of the goals.
We're in the day of technology. Come on. So the first goal is Wolves.
Yes.
So it's a penalty.
Yeah.
I believe that's actually his first home game for us. And we were 1-0 down in that game. It was a Mick McCarthy masterclass.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they just nicked a goal.
Kevin Doyle.
Men behind the ball. Stephen Fletcher. Yeah.
Oh,
the,
yeah, yeah. That,
those days. Lovely penalty comes up, just slots it to the left. Hanneman, no chance in goals. That was his first one. His second goal, do you want to talk us through that one?
FC 20 in the Champions League.
It is indeed.
And he, yeah, it's a left foot swivel volley, which is, he scores lots of those for me. I've got a breakdown of his goals. I've got 5 penalties, 3 headers, 5 volleys or half volleys.
Amazing.
7 standard shots, but then 8 of those placed or swept in short shots.
Yeah. His third goal is at home to Aston Villa. And this is a long ball into the box. Crouch wins a header at the back
post.
You're
going to see a few of these.
Yeah.
It felt like more. I honestly thought.
There's only about all of his goals.
There are 5 where there were nod downs from Crouchy. Yeah.
And his next goal was exactly the same in the same game.
Yeah.
Crouch knocked down. He dummies Richard Dunn.
He's really good at punishing the same side twice in a season. I think about 4 times he does that. So he scores home. In fact, he scored a brace against Villa in both games that season.
And he got 3 goals against Blackburn in that season as well. The next one's against Everton, which is a long ball. Crouch wins
Now, this is a smashing volley from about probably 30 millimetres out. I mean, he really just crashes it in. But and then this is one of my favourite 5. This is the goal against Inter Milan. So it gets knocked into the box and he hits it left foot. He sweeps it past. That would have been Julio Cesar, the goalkeeper at the time.
It's a lovely reverse ball from Modric as well.
But that was the first goal of the game, wasn't it? That got us up and running.
Yeah.
And that was just an epic night.
Magnificent night. His next one's against Sunderland, which is
long ball,
a long
into,
ball
the
into the box. Crouch knocks it down.
But he ends up with his back to goal and he's in the goal area. But he swivels and turns and puts it in the corner with a man on the line.
The next one's the famous penalty against Arsenal. So this is, we've been 2-0 down. We come back to 2-1. We get a penalty. Can he level us? He comes up again.
Absolutely great pen. Just outside the keeper's reach if he had gone the right way. But he hits the side of the goal net. So you're not reaching
that. No chance. And he gives it as well in the celebration. Which
yes.
And then we come on to the game I was describing earlier, the Villa game. So the first one is a cutback penalty spot. Side foots it in the corner.
That's
beautiful
it.
Goal.
This is the great goal.
And the counter-attack one. I mean, I do have a watch of this and I'll send this link round. That second goal.
We should have said start your video now and then we would have got the timing.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
We're going to have another nod down from Crouch here, aren't we?
This is
Edison. Goodison.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful header past probably Tim Howard.
Yeah.
5 or 6 yards out. We've got another pen now.
Another penalty.
Bolton.
Yeah, and again, he tends to put a lot of his penalties that side.
Yeah, left-footers do. I find, as a referee, as someone who's watched a lot of football, a left-footer always tends to open their body out and go to the keeper's right rather than to the keeper's left because it's easier to drag the ball wide.
Yeah. Next up is Arsenal at home. So this game was actually 3-3. We'd gone 1-0 down after about 3 or 4 minutes. Yep. Theo Walcott had scored. And this goal, Cholouka picks the ball up just inside the Arsenal half on the right-hand side. Plays a ball, not a high ball, but a ball in behind, sort of the left centre-back and the left-back. And Van der Vaart gets a yard. He chests it, and it smashes it into the bottom corner. How he even scores from there is truly remarkable.
Alfie Mooney goal,
and then he gives it to the Arsenal fans, which is fantastic. And he gets a penalty in the same game in the second half.
But he does go to the other side, that one.
Yeah.
But nowhere near as near to the post. Mm. So if the keeper has goes, this is another of my top 5 favourites. This is the goal at Anfield. I've watched this a dozen times. It looks like it gets a nick and gets a deflection. Yeah. But it's a loopy volley into the far top corner past Pepe Reina. But it's a forgotten goal. I do not remember it before watching these.
I only remember that game. So we won that game 2-0, and uh-huh. I think Luka Modric scored a second-half penalty.
Right, yeah.
But why I remember that game is Ledley hadn't played for 6 or 7 months. It was one of his longest periods out. And he told a story about this, actually, on Goals on Sunday years ago, that he felt good, he felt fit, he trained a couple of times, and he was just, this is Ledley, he was just happy to, you know, be back in the mix with the lads. We had a few injuries at centre-half, and Harry said to him the day before the game, how do you feel? Do you want to play? And he says to Redknapp, come on, I've been out for half a year. I'll be devastated if I broke down. Like, I'm not sure. And Harry said to him, well, we could really do with you in this game. So Ledley said, all right, I'll travel up and we'll see how I feel on the morning, which was how he assessed most of his games, wasn't it? Got up on the morning, did a little run, went and had a look at the pitch and sort of said to Harry, okay, I'll give it a go. And we went up there and won 2-0.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. Absolutely
it was like
phenomenal.
Getting a Rolls Royce out of the garage for Sunday best, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just absolutely ridiculous. And that, I think that was one of our first wins at Anfield again for a while. We'd have gone a period without
very
winning
probably.
There. The next goal is a Europa League goal against Hearts. This is a forgotten goal for me.
Yeah.
And I was having a look earlier. Jake Livermore scored in this game.
This would have been on Channel 5. That's why, Jack. This is
it's a scrappy goal. I mean, it ball's ricocheting on the edge of the box. It falls to him inside the air, and then it's just a cool as you like.
It's corners personified, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's against a pub team, but it's you know.
I remember actually in the run up to that Hearts game, having Talksport on, and a supporter, a Hearts fan, giving it, saying out, Spurs won't know what's hitting when they get here. Scottish football, you know, we could compete.
5
terrifying 5-0, and it was the home game. If you remember it, the second, because it's a two-legged game.
I do, because I didn't go.
You do remember
I gave
this.
My ticket up to a friend, because the Everton league game had been postponed, and I was going to be on holiday for that, so gave my season ticket to a friend. That was then postponed. I came back, get to see the first league game. So I felt guilty and gave him the tickets to the Hearts match, which was subsequently the first home game that season.
And one of the and worst games
shocking
what I've ever seen. 0-0, and Harry Kane missed a penalty.
Yes. The young number 37 won't make much of him.
Everyone came out after the game and said, it takes a lot, you know, for him to step up and take it. And I was sitting there thinking, no, it doesn't. Yeah. I would have taken it and probably missed.
Just for all the kit geeks out there, so the previous season, up until the Liverpool game, that was the shirt, the white shirt with the blue navy across the shoulder.
Yeah.
So what we won the Champions League. And this season, we'd gone to a Puma kit, which was completely plain. It had a white collar, but it was no other colour, no trim, just the badge, the Puma, and the sponsor.
His next goal is against Wigan. So Adebayor has the ball.
Well, it was a history of assists from tall, lanky players. Although most of Adebayor's ones were from from the foot rather than nod downs.
But this is another nice goal. So Adebayor's got the ball just inside the left side of the Wigan penalty area.
Plays it in towards the penalty spot,
and he's running onto it, and bang!
Yeah,
again,
out of the keeper's reach, just back past him.
And then next up, we have Arsenal again. So this is a ball where he makes a run between the right back and the right centre half. It's a ball over the top, takes it on the chest.
He takes it on his chest
volley,
and his shoulder,
hand.
And not in any way his arm, which Arsenal bitched about. And he runs off waving his shirt and getting all...
And giving it again.
Unnecessary.
Fantastic. That was the game we beat him 2-1, Kyle Walker in the second half, was it?
The shot, was it not?
Yeah, the shot. Yeah, straight through Szczesny.
Free kick was against Man United.
The next one's another penalty. So this is against St James's.
In the lilac. He's dragged that one into the corner this
time. That's a nice kit.
Yeah, I love that one.
I like that one. This is the goal you're talking about, the Blackburn
one. That is amazing.
Incredible goal. And he scores his second in this game as well. Tell us about
another
that
very
one.
Good goal. It's laid just back to the outside of the box. And he's just hit it left-footed with bend, but with some power. And it's going wide of the post, and it just curls in, just inside the post, but beyond the outstretched arm.
We're in the black kit there with the yellow.
Yeah, that was a
bolt.
Real Puma template. So it's got a yellow stripe across the top and a white one across the top of the shoulder.
This next one's a goal against QPR.
Yeah, obscure orange kit for QPR. Yeah, I don't remember this one.
He makes a bit of a late run. So there's I don't know if it's a shot or a pass from about 25 yards.
They're trying to step out, aren't they?
Yeah, and it falls to him. So he's got the ball just inside the penalty area. There's no defenders around him. And he just does the keeper with his eyes. Sends the keeper the wrong
Paddy
way.
Paddy Kenny. I think I could do him with my eyes. No, it's quality. Because you think he's going to, open up. And in fact, he drags it into the other side.
He just does it. And the next one's a bit of a scrappy goal. So this is away at Swansea. Yeah, this is a deflection.
Could easily have been given as an own goal for the modern interpretation. Yeah. He hits a half volley, but it hits the Swansea player square in the chest and it just changes the direction of it. Corner. But it was on target anyway, so it goes in. Yeah. This is an FA Cup tie against Watford.
I was there for this.
Oh, okay.
This was a dire performance. This
is this
game.
Midweek or is it just late on in the game? It's pitch black.
I think it was like a 5:30 on a Saturday.
Okay, yeah, so that's fine.
Watford were a championship side at the time as well, actually, and we went there and we beat them 1-0 and he gets it 25 yards
out. This is
out.
His furthest out goal for us, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yeah.
He doesn't hit it particularly well. The keeper should save
it. It looks like it bobbles. It doesn't. He does hit it quite well, but it's just the distance is gone. It's just dipped and bounced.
It goes through some bodies as well, so that was that one.
This is the diving header against Stoke.
Stoke.
And I just, he gets it across the guy and that's a great goal. Swansea again in the same season.
That's a stunning goal.
That's outside the box, left foot, and he just clips, bends it round. Every goal has got an element of artistry to it.
And next up's Blackburn. So this is a real, real scrappy goal. Where
so much so that the TV angle we've got of this is actually what you would use as goal line technology. Yeah. Show you it was on the goal line.
Complete carnage. The ball's just bounced around about a yard out.
In off the underside of the bar, off the defender's head, and then back down to him.
Smashes it in. And the next one's against Bolton.
This is his final goal.
And again, this for me is a Van der Vaart goal.
Yeah.
A cutback, he's running onto it, and he just side foots it in the bottom corner. Beautiful, beautiful goal. Modric,
that's quite similar to the Villa element, in that it curls away and it's...
Modric in that game scored an absolute screamer.
Yes, from a corner down screamer. at the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
So that's 22 left-footers, 3 with the right foot and 3 headers.
Amazing.
That's a fair description because he was very, very left-footed. But, yeah. It was that good. It was a wand of a left foot.
And what I love about him was just all the different types of goals he scored.
Yeah.
And whilst there's the signature Van der Vaart, there's all different goals in there. Fantastic player, absolutely fantastic player. A couple more listener questions that have come in today. So Jambone9999 on Reddit has said, which other Spurs player gained a legend status as quickly as Van der Vaart? Which is a great question because it did. Fans took to him straight away, you know. And I often think for new players, especially attacking players, if you score in the derby, straight away, that gives you a little bit of, okay, fair enough.
There's got to be some context to it because... I mean, Adebayor scored 2 against Woolwich at Woolwich, but both in 5-2 losses, so they're not really going to be held in any great... Yeah. He got sent off in one of them, didn't he, straight
madness.
After.
Can you think of anyone?
I can't really think of anyone who said quite that. Because it'll work for him, because he had that sort of element, the surprise signing, deadline day, and just the bringing something that we've not had for such a long time. Yeah. I can't think of anyone,
I can't think of anyone, honestly, that from minute one, everyone was like, wow, we just love... What about when we signed Gazza? What was it like there? Was that an instant,
I think that was such a surprise, though, because he was the great hope of English football. Cotty had gone for the same amount at the same time, but very different player, you know, you're paying for a goal scorer. And I don't think... There was that hubbub about football. There wasn't social media like there is now, and there wasn't as much television. There were certainly only a few, 12 or 13 live games a season back then. So I don't think it's comparable.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And the last question, which is from Coys1989 on Reddit, and we know the answer to this one already, but if Rafa was the same age as when we bought him in, would you take him in our squad right now?
Of course, absolutely, definitely. He's a fine player in the true Tottenham traditions, and he would... You know, you'd welcome seeing him at any time, even if it were only off the bench, if he were that, you know, not quite fit in the Poch mould.
I think as well, he brought a bit of a leadership and experience, because he'd been at Madrid, and, you know, he'd played a lot of games. They wasn't that old when we got him. He'd played a lot of matches and a lot of Champions League games, cup finals, so he knew how to win.
Two Intertoto Cup winners' medals. Yeah,
you don't get to the last 16 of the UEFA Cup without having a winner's mentality, do you? Brilliant player. So a fitting tribute, I think, to a man.
And
that,
very,
you know,
enjoyable. It's been... Go and watch that video. Yeah. It's just bloody brilliant.
Fantastic. So that's Rafa. We've got a game to review.
Did we?
Which is Crystal Palace 0 Spurs 1.
5 times on the trot. I mean, there's
all
consistency
half,
for you.
All second half goals as well. I couldn't remember for the life of me, because when I saw that on Twitter, we've won 5 games in a row, I couldn't remember the one where Wanyama scored.
That was the home game. That was his debut, wasn't it?
And I had to look it up, and it was right at the start of the season, wasn't it? And it was a pretty scrappy game.
Yes,
as was this one, to be honest. And, you know, all 5 of those games have been pretty...
Yeah.
There's not much in it. Mainly because Palace show absolutely no ambition of even leaving their half, which watching that, I get for teams that are low down, especially in the bigger games, a point's a brilliant result.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Playing like that, it amazes me. I watch teams that are mid-table sides that get stuff from that, from these type of games, and they actually show some kind of ambition in terms of, I'm going to try and score a goal.
The trouble is, they've got Zaha as their only significant attacking outlet. They've got Andros Townsend as well, and he works as a good counterbalance to Zaha.
He's been playing up front, hasn't
but,
he?
Yeah, I mean, they're naive, and without Zaha, they have a terrible record. They have with Wilf, and they have without Wilf.
They haven't won, have they?
Mentality, without exactly. So, yeah, they're very, very different. They haven't even got the option at the moment of sticking Benteke up front, and having a big lump who can knock them down and knock them in, because he's not scoring, but he's also not fit at the moment. Yeah. They brought on their enormous lump from Norway, Sorloth.
He's a unit.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a unit.
And, you know, he swung his trusty left peg at one, but he just hit it straight at Hugo, and if Hugo wanted to, he wouldn't have been able to get out of the way of that one. So either side of him, and that would have lashed into the net. But again, you know, we're not playing well. We've got almost everyone's out injured. We're really struggling, and we're just grinding out results time and time again. A number of different years, we'd be top at the moment.
Yeah,
it's certainly in the top two in the Premier League era. And it's just one of those phenomenal seasons where the top six are absolutely, almost without fail, beating the bottom 14.
Yeah.
And almost all the points have been taken. There's very few have been dropped. We've dropped three of them against Watford, and that's it.
Yeah. I want to talk about Foyth as well, the young centre-half. So he had that difficult game against Wolves where, overall, he played quite well, but it would just be masked with two massive mistakes. I was worried for him. After about 15 minutes, I was watching that thinking I'm nervous, because there were a couple of moments where he gave the ball away. He played the ball out for a corner at one point when he had a simple pass to Lloris, and I was thinking, he looks nervous. He's got something about him that just sort of said, I don't care. Yeah. I might have had a dodge 15 minutes, that don't matter. And his distribution from the back was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The way he plays a quick 10-yard pass into midfield between the lines, it's a midfielder's dream. And then you saw other parts of his game.
Because if you underhit that, you give players the opportunity to get in and nick that ball and nick that. So playing it with a firmness, because we've got some talented players who are willing to take the ball at any pace, any time, anywhere on the field. And that helps. The thing is, and you're a sensible bloke, we have this WhatsApp chat group amongst the podcasters where predominantly we're quite intelligent people, I perceive. The hyperbole over Foyth, he was not as bad as he was portrayed after the Wolves game, and he's not as good as he's been portrayed after the Crystal Palace game. And in fact, Pochettino and the squad, they live in a different bubble to the rest of the world in social media land, and nobody would have criticised him as much as he got knocked after Wolves, and nobody would have bigged him up as much, because that's not how modern football works. That's not how proper people, you know, in football deal with clubs. The likes of Redknapp might have been very different. You might have lifted a guy and lifted a guy and lifted a guy, but then someone's going to knock him down.
Ryan Nelson would have started. But he took the goal well. I mean, it was a tap in essentially. Yeah. The defending from Palace on that goal was just three of them just sort of stand there, don't they, and let him attack the ball.
After you, Claude.
Remarkable. I mean, if I'd have said to you last season that we're going to be where we are in the league and Foyth and Sissoko will be starting. I want to talk about Sissoko as well, because he had another good game.
He did.
I'm not going to get carried away and say that... Sorry, Sissoko. I'm not going to get carried away and say that the guy is the best midfielder that we've ever... Do you know what I mean? He's putting in performances this season that the type of performances I expected when we got him.
Yeah.
Not match winning, but just doing the basics well.
But also now we have this level of expectation and the bar is very low. So when he has even a middling... And, you know, better than middling performances, we're appreciating them. Yeah. And that's good. You know, the thing is, I always thought of him as a player who would shine more in a game against a quality opposition where we have the ball less.
Yeah.
He's a bit cumbersome. He doesn't always look like he's got the ball under control, even when he has.
Yeah.
So in games where we're only getting 30% of possession, he's actually a very useful player. Yeah. In this game, that wasn't the case at all. We had a lot of the ball. Mm. But we had to match up with the physicality, and he did that admirably. But he did his other stuff, you know, just as well.
I think as well that He's an asset for Kieran Trippier, which might sound strange, but the formation that we've sort of changed is a bit more of a 4-3-3 the last three or four games. And he plays on the right of that midfield three. When Trippier bombs on, Sissoko just slots in. He's essentially the right back when we've got the ball, which is great for Trippier because, you know, he can just bomb on, get crosses in, be dangerous. He just does a lot of donkey work like that, really.
But it gives Trippier the freedom to know he can hang on the edge of a position where he could get caught out positionally, but Sissoko's there.
The socks there to cover for him. But look, it wasn't pretty. It hasn't been for most of this season, but, you know, we're right in the mix with potentially being up there challenging for the league, which sounds crazy. If you look at how far
we're
ahead...
not though, are we? We're up there and we're challenging for fourth, for the top four places. Jack, we're not going to win the league.
I don't think we're going to win the league, no, but you never know. And Alex Ferguson always used to say, get to January, if you're within 10 points, you're in the title race. So
I think that's not the case anymore. 10 points, certainly. 5 at the most. If you're looking at catching City, I mean, City are ahead of where they've been previously.
Yeah.
Already.
And the football they're playing is frightening. But
four teams since the Football League and Premier League started, they go back to the 1860s or whatever it was, four teams have had a goal difference of 30-plus at this stage of the season. One of them was Preston's Invincibles team. Mm. I think they had the highest with 34. Mm. The other three are all Man City, all in the last 6 or 7 seasons.
It's terrifying.
This season, last season, and one of about 5-6 years.
Now, I'm not saying that we're gonna challenge City or win the title, but
because I still think fourth is our top ceiling this season. I honestly do. We're not as good as Man City. We're not as good as Chelsea, and at the moment, unless their bubble bursts, we aren't as consistently good as Liverpool.
I slightly disagree in terms of at the start of the season. If you'd have said fourth, I probably would have taken it. I probably would have done. But I look at it now and think City, yeah, they look great. Liverpool, they've been like us, really. They've got the job done so far this season. But I don't think that they're that great a side. I think they're a strong team.
Their midfield is not what we thought they'd bought. Mm. Naby Keita is not the world beater we thought he was going to be.
And neither is
Fabinho for 40 million. He's not very... Yeah. He's not got the Premier League yet.
Yeah.
So they're playing a lot more games with Henderson, Wijnaldum, Milner, or a combination of a couple of those than I anticipated they ever would. Because that's where they were weaker in the Champions League, because their midfield was weak, their bench was weak. If those guys become their bench midfielders, Oxlade-Chamberlain comes back, it's quite different.
Yeah.
But actually, even Firmino's not been that consistent this season.
He's got 2 league
Salah
goals.
Salah hasn't scored as often. He's scored a few, but he hasn't scored as often or as many. So actually, Mane's carried them a bit
up top. I think us, Liverpool and Chelsea are all there or thereabouts. I think any one of us could come second, third or fourth out of the three of us. And then I think outside of that is probably Arsenal next. I mean, United are just... they've got a negative goal difference.
Yep.
They're 12 points behind City.
This is their worst start since 1990-91.
Below Bournemouth.
And it's their first time they've had a negative goal difference since... the 70s.
It's just it's incredible, and I can't really see. I don't look at United as a threat this season for top four. So I think basically it's a fact of finish above Arsenal, which I'm confident we will do. You'll get Champions League.
Yeah, they're not there yet. They really struggled against Wolves, and were lucky to get a point at the weekend.
There's no game this week either because it's an international break. But we have got a We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, this I could do no mental preparation for this because I don't know who you're preparing.
Well,
or Simon's prepared for.
Quizmaster Simon has written in with this, and so this is a bit of an international special.
Oh.
So this is tough. I looked at this and thought this is a tough one. So the England World Cup squad in 2006.
Okay.
Was made up of 4 current Spurs players at the time, 1 former Spurs player, and 1 future Spurs player. Can you name them?
Paul Robinson.
Correct. If you just list these off.
No. First. Aaron Lennon.
Correct. So that's 2 current.
The current that they were at the
they
time.
They were current at the time. Yeah. You need
Peter Crouch.
Peter Crouch is the future player on there. Excellent. So you need a defender, and two midfielders.
Ledley? Did Ledley go?
Not Ledley.
Oh, okay. Dorse? Oh, no, he went in 2010 as a replacement, didn't he? Sorry.
The, okay. the defender, to give you a bit of a clue, is a former Spurs player at the time. And the other midfielder was a current Spurs player at the time.
Okay. Trying to think out loud and not give dead air. A former defender, so he would have gone on to... Who's a bigger club than us then?
He wasn't... He's not the most liked, shall we say, the defender. Anymore.
Instantly thinking of French Tottenham players. Dallas. Can you give me another clue?
There were effectively riots when he came back to White Hart Lane to play his first game.
Oh, yes. Solzia Campbell.
Judas himself. Okay. So that's the former.
Yeah, okay.
The former Promise. Player. And then it's one more current.
One more time. Team.
What midfield? You've got Aaron Lennon, haven't you?
Oh, I wish you'd said you've got the one I hadn't got.
So it's two more, actually, sorry. It's two
Carrick?
More. Michael Carrick is one. Yeah, correct. Brilliant player. Absolutely brilliant player, Michael Carrick.
Jermaine Jenas.
Jermaine Jenas, there you go. Excellent, very good. So that was, there were four current players at the time, which were Paul Robinson, Jermaine Jenas, Michael Carrick and Aaron Lennon. There was one former player, which was Judas, and then the future player was Peter Crouch. So
excellent.
I like that. Great
very
quiz,
good, Simon.
Simon.
Thank you. Challenging my grey matter.
There you go. There's going to be a special podcast released, which you're going to be recording later on in this week, actually. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yes, I'm going to be interviewing Simon Shakeshaft, who's the author of the Spurs Shirt book, which is the book I worked on for roughly a year or so, about a year ago, but took some time to get through final production due to some outside issues. But that's coming out in a matter of weeks.
Amazing.
It will be out definitely in time for Christmas. It's going to be exclusively sold through the Spurs shop and their online facility. So that's the only place you'll be able to get it initially. But I'll be interviewing Simon and a sort of special podcast about the book and about Tottenham kits.
Amazing. Amazing.
It was an absolute privilege to be part of it.
How were you asked to be part of that? How did it,
literally,
come along?
There's a couple of websites for kit fans or geeks, if you were, and general sort of Twitter conversation. Mm. And I commented regularly about things, one-off games that have been, certain kits have been worn, or anomalies where you had to borrow away kits and bits of the opposition stuff. And Simon is a former physiotherapist and former kit man of the likes of Hereford and Shrewsbury and Exeter, clubs like that. But he has an extensive kit collection of his own. He's the foremost kit collector of Wales kits.
Amazing.
But he is very much the go-to man for anything. Players would come to him with their collection of kit shirts and ask him to help them prior to them maybe going on auction and for sale. He's the curator of the National Football Shirt Museum, which is an online facility by one of the main providers of shirts for this book. And the book is essentially a catalogue. No, it's not a catalogue, but it catalogues the Spurs shirt through the years by showing photographs of actual match-worn shirts. Yeah. So these aren't replicas out of the club shop. These have all got some history to them. There's
blood, sweat,
exclamation.
And tears on.
Very much. There is. Some of them are muddied. Some of them are quite smelly.
Yeah.
And all of them, in their own way, are astonishingly beautiful. And I was lucky enough to be there for a few of the photo shoots. And to hold these things and to hold these shirts that were worn in the cup final in the double year or European Cup winners cup finals, and you know, my heroes, Glenn Hoddle, Steve Perriman, Jurgen Klinsmann, Teddy Sheringham, Michael Dawson, Gareth Bale shirt against Inter Milan. You know,
I've
held it and I've held it close to me and smelt it and just
Don't tell us what else you did.
Honestly, it was in a public area, so
doesn't make it any better what you did.
No, it's just incredible to be part of. I didn't write any of the book, so don't worry, it's not me being boring. But I provided lots and lots of the background information for Simon and the to write his views and opinions on the book. And
amazing.
He's got experience of doing a book previously of this type for another club in the North London area. And I can tell you it's better than that, because he's had the opportunity of learning from things he's done previously. So, you know, we've gone one better. And actually, this is authorised by the club and in conjunction with the club, whereas the Woolwich book was done, they went to them and they just said, we don't understand it, we don't get it.
Mm.
And it sold every copy and it was a roaring success for them,
yeah.
as this will be for Incredible. Tottenham fans and football shirt fans. I know lots of people who are looking forward to the release of it who aren't even Spurs
yeah.
people.
It's going to be fantastic. We can't wait for that interview, can't wait for the release of the book. If you've got any questions that you want Stato to ask, please tweet us,
yeah.
message us on Facebook, email us, and we'll be sure to add that.
And even if it is after the event, you don't get to listen to this until after I've interviewed Simon on Friday, get your question to me and I'll pass it on and we can get any answers that you know that you want. But I'll be coming back on as soon as the book's launched anyway to chat about it.
We'll do
it
a special
as well.
About the book, yeah, yeah. It'll be fantastic. So really looking forward to that. Hope everyone's enjoyed the show today. Good to have you back as well.
Been a pleasure.
It's been too long.
Can we not finish without mentioning Harry Redknapp going into I'm a Celebrity?
Did you
what
see
are your thoughts?
Have you seen Southampton's official tweet about it?
I haven't. I've not seen that.
Incredible. But... They retweeted with a comment and said, "Be careful, he doesn't leave for Strictly halfway through."
Genius. This is one I got from Twitter as well. This is not mine. I didn't write it. I promise. But hey, getting on eating that kangaroo penis, Harry. I'm down at the bare bone. You can see it happening,
well,
can't you?
People saying that he was going to be spending his dingo dollars to phone Nico Crunchard.
They'll do his little interview. It won't be in a little hut. It'll be a car window, just leaning out of a car window.
Oh, God. So that's going to be highly entertaining, if he even manages to do it.
How's he going to do it with his knees? I can't imagine it.
I don't know, but the thought... I mean, he won't be doing the parachute, will he? Let's be honest.
I've never watched the programme.
They're not
going to. It sounds hideous.
They take
never
three or four
that.
Of the celebs and throw them out of a plane to get them into
Excellent.
The jungle. I don't quite think that'll be him.
I don't think he'll have lived in an area with such degradation or dodginess since he was the manager of Birmingham City, frankly. But even then he commuted. Is Kevin Bond going to drop him off?
Yeah.
It won't be a helicopter. It'll be Kevin Bond just driving
Kevin
him
Bond
backwards
in a boat.
And forwards.
Fantastic. So we've got that to look forward
yeah.
to. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, whatever happens, future's bright. The future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
£8 million to Real Madrid secured Tottenham the services of Rafael van der Vaart, arguably the signing of the summer.
He has been a revelation! Special goal from a really special player.
Rafael van der Vaart gets his first goal for Tottenham Hotspur.